I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Silly networks on TV that are aligned with the Democrat Party saying democracy's under attack. But do you think transparency has something to do with democracy? You're refusing to give records on research, money that went for research. We want to read the research grant proposals. We want to read what the people in Wuhan sent back to the State Department saying they did. Which viruses did they create? Because the thing is it sounds all great. We're going to identify all the viruses of the world. But part of what they do is they take a virus they found 200 feet down in a cave, and they mix it with another virus to create a virus that doesn't exist in nature, because they say that's how we're going to further identify it. There's a big debate that should be had whether that's safe, to take a virus from 100 feet down a bat cave, 12 hours south of Wuhan, and take it to a city of 10 million. Yep. And yet you won't help us investigate this. You refuse, and it is reminiscent of the countries we criticize for lack of transparency.
Nailed it, Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky. March 23rd, 2023. That was Senator Paul speaking to Secretary of State Antony Blinken. Now, Biden signed the bill authorized by Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, authored by him, to declassify all information about the origins of COVID and how our nation was justifying a lockdown and demonizing those who didn't want to have shots or even wear a mask, and information about U.S. dollars to the Wuhan lab and Dr. Fauci's involvement in gain of function. But even before Biden reluctantly signed that bill, which had bipartisan unanimous support in Congress, Senator Rand Paul was looking for questions, and so he continued to press Blinken.
My question is, what's the State Department hiding? Why won't you give these records to the American people?
Senator, thank you. And yes, I appreciated you raising this when we saw each other a month or so ago. And my understanding is that our teams have been working to find an accommodation. There's longstanding...
We've got a refusal, blanket refusal. No, they are not going to give us records.
We cannot directly provide the...
Sure you can.
Unredacted cables. We have a longstanding practice with this committee about how we do...
You're refusing to release them.
No, but
not that you can't. There's a difference between... can and may. You won't do it, but you can do it.
My hope is that we can find a way forward that answers your concerns so that you get the information that you're looking for. My understanding is that our teams have been working on that, and I commit to continue to do that so we can get you
We're talking about unclassified material. Most of this is unclassified, and so we just had a unanimous vote in the Senate and in the House, and President Biden just signed a bill saying he's going to declassify stuff. But if you declassify it and you still hide it from the American people, that's a problem.
Yes, it is. And of course, Blinken doing that normal dance they often do when they get asked a tough question. Oh, Senator, I'm glad you asked that question. I think we discussed it before. I'm glad you, in other words, spinning his wheels and his time, coming up with no good answer. And Secretary Yellen been doing the same thing. Now, you know, you've heard claims from the Democrats, from the Biden White House, that Republicans want to cut your Social Security. That's not true. But here is the truth. Louisiana Senator Cassidy, as he was questioning Secretary Yellen, asked this question.
Is the president aware that when social goes broke in 9 years under current law, there's a 24% cut in benefits for people who are currently receiving?
If we don't do anything about it, I think that's about right. But
okay, let me ask.
The president wants to strengthen Social Security.
In the $4.5 trillion of taxes the president has proposed, are any of those taxes going to shore up Social Security? I actually know that answer. The answer is, of the $4.5 trillion in taxes he has proposed, not a dime is going to shore up Social Security.
He was not going to allow Yellen a chance to dance around on it. I got the answer. Not a dime. And then he says directly to Treasury Secretary Yellen, you're lying.
If their benefits are cut by 24%, they will slide into poverty. It's hard for you to know, so I'll give you a pass on that.
The president knows many people on Social Security.
Then why doesn't the president care?
He cares very deeply.
Then where is his plan?
He stands ready to work with
Congress. That's a lie. If you've been told to say he stands ready to meet, I will tell you there's absolutely no evidence because we have not gotten our meeting.
Well, I believe the president does stand ready to work
with Congress.
Well,
again, empirically, that is not true.
To address this issue.
Yeah, well, how about we, Senator Cassidy, may I suggest, set the meeting in an ice cream shop. Maybe he'll show up. You know, there's a shortage of hospitals in rural areas. Some of you live in some of those areas. You know it's bad and it's getting worse. And there are some states that are so hard hit right now, and an estimated 20% of our U.S. population are in such areas. But there's one state where an OBGYN is leaving her practice for 30-plus years. Why? Because her state is now threatening penalties for doctors or staff involved in abortions. Whoa. Help me understand this. You can't, but let's try. Let's work together on this. Her job is to deliver babies, bring them into the world. Abortionists want to kill the unborn, not bring them into the world. So she's leaving and not going to be able to serve women who want to have their babies because the state is going to penalize abortion providers. No, you're not going to find any common sense there. She's simply playing the progressive card, saying the reason I'm leaving and we're going to have all these people that might be expecting babies, and I won't be here to help them as I have for 30 years, is because this state is going to penalize abortionists. But that's not what you're doing. But that's my stand. Yeah, I got it. It's all playing the progressive card. All right, so we've had Xi and Poo with their meeting. Not good for the U.S. We don't know exactly what's coming out, but it's not good. And, of course, there's still no indictment of Trump. No indictment of Trump. I'll repeat that again. But there might be an indictment of CNN and NNN. I mean, look at this. Their primetime 25 to 54 age demos hitting a 30-year low. 84,000. In the week of March 13, only 383,000 viewed CNN in primetime hours. That's an indictment. I love it. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, in the previous segment, I'd mentioned that we have some hospitals that are having to close up because they're in rural areas. They just don't have enough patients, can't afford to keep them open. And then we also have some OBGYNs who are deciding to walk away from the profession because they're now in a state that could criminalize and penalize and take the license from a doctor who performs an abortion. The OBGYN was trained to deliver the baby. And if they're doing that, they're not going to be charged and prosecuted. So it's using the progressive card to say, I don't like the laws of this state, so I'm willing to abandon women and their children as they're having them because anyone who does an abortion could be prosecuted. But you're not doing that. Does that make any sense to you? Of course it doesn't. Joining me now and to discuss both of these issues, glad to have him on board. We have had before and glad to welcome him back. Paul Siegert, he's a managing partner with PCS Advisors. PCS Advisors helps hospitals understand monitoring healthcare costs and other issues. Paul, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thank you for having me.
So let's begin, first of all, with the rural hospitals and how bad it's gotten. I'm looking at a piece that was actually citing ABC News that at least 136 rural hospitals and health systems closed between 2010 and 2011, and over 40% are now operating with negative profit margins. In other words, they're that close to shutting their doors. How accurate is that information? What's being done?
It's very accurate. We've got 600 right now that we would consider at high risk of not being here a year or two or three from now. And it's a problem that's been around a long time. And as a country, we will put Band-Aids on it here and there and throw a few dollars at it here and there. But none of the things that we have done have slowed this trend in any real way.
And the point is that if the hospital has to be, the closest one is 50 to 60 plus miles away, that's okay if it's nothing that's an emergency. But if you got an emergency,
right,
that changes the scenario entirely. Now, of course, we have air flights if they're not all tied up doing something else, but those in rural areas are seeing this be jeopardized more and more every day.
That's a fact. And I know a lot of people that hear us talk about this, I think sometimes think, well, shoot, how many people is this really affecting?
Yeah.
It's about 20% of our population, actually.
That's big.
That are served by these organizations and these facilities. And then they'll have, the attempts that we make from a government level to solve it are just sometimes make you scratch your head. The program just came out a few months back where the government said, well, if you'll become basically a glorified urgent care, if you won't do any inpatient services, we'll give you $250,000 a month.
I'm sorry, it broke up. Would you give me the numbers again on that?
Yeah, if you become a rural health care emergency facility, and that may not be the exact right
you
name.
You said but, urgent care like you see on a lot of corners in major cities. Go ahead.
Yeah, basically a glorified urgent care or an urgent care on steroids. They say we'll help you keep your facility open. We'll give you $250,000 a month in additional funding, but you can't do any inpatient services. You have to shut that down.
What's inpatient? What is inpatient service? What
anything that requires someone to go into a hospital.
That's what I was thinking.
I got a hospital, we'll give you $3 million a year.
Yeah. I mean, I was cutting onions and I sliced my elbow and my arm considerably. I think I need some health services, but you can't go in there and get that. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, so long as it's in and out, you're okay. But if you need real care, then they've got to transfer you, and then they can't keep anyone over 24 hours.
That might be the other caveat, that if you're in and out in 24 hours, that they will boot your butt out. I'm sure if they're going to get that extra $250,000. Oh, you're good. You're good to go. Two aspirin. Call me tomorrow.
Get in your car and drive to the city down the road.
Yeah. And just don't pick up a knife for a while. Now, there was a program for a while to help med students because of the cost of getting a medical degree, that if they would commit, I want to say, 2+ years to a rural hospital, then some of their cost for their medical tuition could be covered if they would commit that they would stay there and provide services. Is that still in effect? And I thought it was doing some value at the time.
Yeah, that still does work. But it's the Rural Community Loan Repayment Program, National Health Service Corps. If you go work for the National Health Service Corps. But we still struggle to get people to do that. And it kind of ties into this whole issue we have with primary care being on the decline as well. You have people that go to college and accumulate hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt, and then they really can't even afford to come out and be a primary care provider.
So they're not getting enough money, even though some of their debt could be forgiven, they're not making enough money to actually make it happen.
And I think the problem maybe even starts prior to that for a lot, in part because they're not even choosing to go that direction with their career. Everybody's headed into specialties where they can make real money.
That's a point. Yeah. You're listening to Paul Siegert with PCS Advisors. You're out of Dallas, I think, right?
Out of Nashville, no.
Okay, so you monitor and advise hospitals on health care and costs. What do you tell them now? Just shut the door or good luck?
Yeah, especially with these rural facilities, and not just rural facilities, but urban facilities and poorer areas are in trouble too. And everyone says, well, why are they not making enough money? Well, their client base is made up of Medicare, Medicaid, and uninsured. And most people in this country don't know that our government programs do not reimburse providers enough to cover the cost of care in lots of cases. So they have to rely on commercial payers, which means those of us that get our coverage at work, basically. And 20 to 30 years ago, 2 out of 3 of us got our coverage at work. So the fact that they might have not made much or lost money even on Medicare or Medicaid people was offset by the greater percentage of commercial payers that walked in the door. That's changed. We put a ton of people into government programs. We've crossed, to me, a very significant number that nobody's talking about that I know of. 51% of us now get our coverage from the government.
That is very small. I do know. I've talked to doctors about that. Plus, the insurance cost for doctors continues to escalate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Their costs go up. They can't really, you can't operate a facility on reimbursements from Medicare, Medicaid. So when everyone comes to me and says, Paul, we should just go single payer. Let's just go like UK, like Canada. And then they use Medicare math to multiply it out and say, this is why it would work and be cheaper. Well, you wouldn't have the health system you have today that you're familiar with, the quality that you're familiar with.
I had and of course, there are the restrictions on what's going to be covered, what's not, and how much and how it's coded. And I had a friend, a long-term friend, who had been an OBGYN, I think, for 30-plus years. He was going to get out of it because he could no longer afford the insurance costs, just kept going up. But he had no, right, no dilemma cases or anything. It just kept going up generally. And then he ended up joining a firm that he thought, maybe I can be on the inside and help retailer this and help physicians. And he began to realize it was a machine out of control. He couldn't do anything.
That's right.
He was a cog that just got dropped on the floor.
Well, shoot, when you have J.P. Morgan, Chase, you have Berkshire Hathaway and Amazon get together and say, hey, we're all spending so much on healthcare, let's solve this problem, and then they give up.
Yeah, yeah.
That tells you what you're up against. You think the military-industrial complex is powerful. I've named this the medical-industrial complex.
That's a great point.
You got 14
point.
Or 15 lobbyists for every member of Congress to keep
And that's exactly right. Now, I'd also mention this case up in Bonner General Health in Idaho, the only hospital in Sandpoint, Idaho, announced the other day, and it serves about 9,000, that if you're going to have labor delivery care, you're going to go at least 40-plus miles to a doctor that can help you. And one OBGYN who had been operating in that area, that hospital, was going to leave because they said, look, laws have been passed in this state. They're so strict about abortion that physicians face felony charges, lose their license if they help out with an abortion or they perform an abortion. Well, damn it, if you're just delivering the baby, you're not creating an abortion.
Right.
Why?
I just think that's a red herring.
Yes.
Probably going broke.
Yes. And are using...
and now let's make a political statement
about it. Absolutely. Play the progressive card. You're not going to have a doctor here because you guys are threatening to sue and charge doctors if they perform an abortion. There's a difference. I thought these doctors are smart enough to know there's a difference between aborting a baby and bringing a baby out to a new life.
Right. Come on. I'm making some assumptions here, but very likely this OBGYN was struggling to just keep the doors open and get by in their practice because they had a client base that was largely Medicaid based. And you can't run a business on that.
And why would she not just simply say that?
Right. Well, that doesn't sound as sexy as saying, you know, I'm going to make a political statement about it. But I think that's why that happens. And it's a trend that we're watching all over the country. It should be alarming to people that you have OB departments closing, and lots of these rural facilities are closing OB, and they're closing other things too. They're closing pediatric inpatient care, all kinds of things, because they can't afford to operate. And this actually would be an easy thing to fix. Obviously it's crazy to say, because it wouldn't be easy. 14, 15 lobbyists per member of Congress, but it could be fixed. You can ask any CEO of a rural hospital what would fix your problem. Medicare and Medicaid should pay me what it costs to treat their patients.
There we go. Yeah, it's easy to fix if it's like socialist and money. It's all good till you run out of the other people's
private
money.
Private payers are subsidizing the government in this case. When you say subsidy, everybody thinks government. It's actually the other way around in our healthcare payment model.
But
they're pricing employers out of it. It's getting so crazy for employers.
So in the last 30 seconds, this OBGYN who's decided to leave, she has said, and she's doing it because of the restrictive abortion laws. Her job in training is to deliver a baby, not abort, but doesn't say she's been aborting, but she says, I delivered my first child here. I've been here 36 years. It's just sad to go. It breaks my heart to see what is happening. Well, then why the hell don't you step up and do and take your Hippocratic Oath seriously?
Yeah, just continue to do it. You can stay there and keep doing what you've been doing for 36 years. But, you know, I think the real story is, like so many things, follow the money. The reimbursements keep getting cut, and they just can't even survive on them. And that is that's a real issue we should address.
And before you leave and the door hits you on the way out, tell them it's because of your strict abortion laws, right? Hey, as always, we appreciate Paul giving us some idea of this. Paul Seegert, PCS Advisors, they monitor and help hospitals try to handle health care and costs. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thanks for having me.
It's hard to find a car you like, but here's an easier way. AckermanToyota.com. In a flash, you're going to see new and pre-owned. You can quickly select which model you want, price, colors, options, get details on financing, lifetime oil changes, lifetime engine warranty. Just click AckermanToyota.com. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Arriving in D.C. this week, you appeared on TikTok and posted you had 150 million U.S. users, 5 million U.S. businesses. That represents a lot of data. You also referenced your appearance before this committee as a chance to share all that TikTok is doing to protect Americans using the app. Mr. Chu, has ByteDance spied on Americans at the direction of the Chinese Communist Party?
No.
Madam Chair, I'd like to enter into the record this October 20th, 22, Forbes article entitled TikTok Parent ByteDance Plan to Use TikTok to Monitor the Physical Location of Specific U.S. Citizens.
Without objection, sir.
Thank you. The project assigned this to a Beijing-led team and they were going to follow individual American citizens. I ask you again, Mr. Chu, has ByteDance spied on American citizens?
I don't think that spying is the right way to describe it.
Right.
This is ultimately...
We can differ on
this
that.
This is ultimately an internal investigation.
Any TikTok or ByteDance data that is viewed, stored, or passes through China is subject to the laws of China, one-party authoritarian state hostile to all American standards of privacy. China's court system reports to and falls under the Chinese Communist Party. And like fentanyl analogs, which we all know are also manufactured in China, although they are illegal there, I fear TikTok will grow into a much bigger problem, a cancer, if you will. And I'm deeply worried that it may be too late to stop the spread of this cancer.
That would be a fear, wouldn't it? That is Congressman Neil Dunn, Republican of Florida. Now, I love the answer from the TikTok CEO. Well, spying is not the right word. Are you kidding me? I'm not spying on you, but I'm collecting a lot of information. I'm following you wherever you go through your TikTok device. So here we had the opening hearings today on TikTok and Communist China, and should it be banned entirely from the nation, certainly stripped from phones, it might be in federal installations. But you know what? You could not help but note that there were certain Democrats in the hearing today. Two congresswomen, one from California, one from New York, that had a bigger priority. Let me give you an example. The one from California, I'm not going to bother names. They're nothing. One of them acknowledged from California, she said, I know the China issue, that's serious. Make no mistake, the Chinese government represents a real and immediate threat. I guess she didn't go to Chinatown for lunch with Nancy Pelosi, did she? But then she went on to say, but now I'm introducing the algorithm justice and online platform transparency. We're going to stop discrimination, and we're going to be more open, more diverse, more diverse. Of course, that's always a fallback. The security of the U.S., don't worry your pretty little head over that. That's not a big deal. They're more concerned about getting their woke agenda across the face of this nation and the world. There is a total disconnect between some of these people that supposedly are looking out for American interests. And you see it right there. Now, let me give you another example of this wokeness and how it leads to various outcomes. 10 months ago, Marvel Studios hired a woman that the Marvel chief said she is the most dynamic, candid, and accessible executive in the industry. We're thrilled she's going to be by our side in this elevated role as we lead Marvel Studios into the future. That was 10 months ago. My, how things change. Of course, they don't mention that she was hired primarily because she checked all of the diversity boxes, and that was going to be her intent to turn Marvel heroes into transvestites or whatever they wanted to make them. So now she's fired, laid off. It just didn't work out. She wasn't so marvelous for Marvel Studios, obviously. You know, the country music artists generally are patriotic, God, country, family, right? That's pretty standard. Well, then we have Maren Lorraine Morris, American singer-songwriter, rooted in the country music, but also blending in pop, R&B, hip-hop. That's not uncommon nowadays. Born in Arlington, Texas. So she joined a host of Tennessee drag queens Monday night in Nashville to protest recent state legislation aimed at barring children from drag shows. Maren, what are you doing? She used the occasion to dare local authorities to arrest her, saying, I took my toddler to meet some drag queens earlier in the day. I wanted to introduce my son to some drag queens, so Tennessee effing arrest me. she's doing this partly to showcase her crossover hit called The Middle with a drag queen who was doing an interpretive dance while she was singing. Morris later talked about the world of transgenderism, according to Variety. I brought my son here earlier today for a sound check, and he's turning 3 this week. We get in the room where all the queens were getting ready and doing their makeup, and he freaked out when he went in there because it's just magic what the drag queens do. When she said freaked out, I don't know if she meant that he didn't understand or he's scared. I mean, kids get scared of clowns. They get scared of Santa Claus, so who knows? But she saw and he saw there were wigs everywhere and the smell of hairspray and wig glue, glitter, a lot of glitter, and a room full of love. And she said, I need the queens. That's what her son said. She said, he said. Why would you take your 3-year-old to a drag queen show? Why would you do that? If he's 16, 17, I would still ask the question. If they're old enough to go on their own, then they're going to do it. But you're taking a 3-year-old. What is your message? I'll tell you one message that came out of New York City. A transgender female won a woman's cycling event over the weekend, becoming the latest transgender female to face pushback over athletic achievements. So in a social media post from New York City Cycling News, Tiffany Thomas can be seen standing on the winner's podium after winning, a member of the L.A.-based women's cycling group. Tiffany is a scientist by day, athlete by night, they say. She has never met a barbell, a bike, or a dog that she doesn't like. She is so incredibly excited to race and win. And she won the women's event. What do you want to do, applaud and say that's all good? There will be some who will. You're just throwing women under the bus. Does anyone realize that? Do you care anymore? These folks don't.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So put this on your calendar, May the 1st. Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. Napoli C will have the finest seafood, lobster, crab, caviar. May 1st, Napoli C opens on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3, which is also open for lunch and on Sundays. You can find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and then May 1st, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So we were talking about a country music singer born in Arlington, Texas, then in Tennessee, taking her 3-year-old to a drag queen show, thinking it's just the greatest thing for the child to experience. Let me give you the other side of this. This is an English actor-comedian, Russell Brand. And he was doing an interview last week, and here's what Russell Brand had to say, contrasting to the country music singer who took her 3-year-old to a drag queen show. He's reiterating his need for God in his life, insisting, without God, I cannot cope in the world. Russell Brand. He said, I need spirituality. I need God, or I just cannot cope. As much as I might enjoy the feeling of privilege and luxury, I remember what reality is. I remember that my wellness is contingent upon spiritual connection, open certain values and principles, and then, I'm sorry to admit, involve sacrifice, self-scrutiny about my own conduct and behavior, which often falls short, but I'm working on improving myself. And like many desperate people, I need spirituality. I need God, or I cannot cope in this world I need to believe the best of people. You don't have to be religious, to use that term. And you can be of any religion you want or none. But do you think this world was just formed by chance? Other than a supreme being, whatever you want to call him? Remember our pledge, one nation under God.